This audio is brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your location agent and good neighbor.
All right, good evening, everybody. We're going to start off. Let me introduce myself. My name is Brad Purdy, and you're wondering, you got the wrong shirt on. I don't. I'm a local resource from right down the road out of Cheyenne, working here with the Southwest Incident Management Team 5. So we're happy to be here this evening. I'm obligated by Anita to do just a couple of housekeeping things. You all know this place better than I do, but there's bathrooms out in the hall and a couple bathrooms right there. If we have to leave the building, we'll just leave the building. So tonight, the team is going to take you through a couple different things. And for all my fellow presenters, see how close this microphone is to my mouth. You can't do one of these. That's not going to work. We got to do one of these. So the team's going to take you through where these fires are at, and then we're going to talk a little bit about how we got here. We're going to talk about the weather. And at the end, we're going to talk a little bit about suppression repair. So if you've got damage on your property, whether it be cut fences, things like dozer lines, things like that, we're going to talk a little bit about that. The suppression repair is from the suppression activities that happened during the fire. And then at the very end, we've got some partners back here along this back wall, and they're going to talk to you all about post-fire recovery. So we got some folks in the room who can talk to you about what we can do to help you post-fire. Okay? All right, so we'll get started with operations and Brandon Glenn. Brandon?
Thank you, Brad. Mm-hmm. Good evening, everybody. Brandon Glenn. I'm one of the ops chiefs for Southwest Management Team 5. Is this even coming over the intercom here? Okay. So I guess I'll get started with really when we got the call, the 22nd. This fire had already been going for a little over 24 hours, maybe even close to 30 hours, and probably close to full size that you see now. A lot of growth, as you all know, especially the folks over here and maybe even some of you that were in your equipment fighting this thing. First thing I did when I got the call from Dave was call Karsten Millick, who was the IC at the time, get an idea of what we were up against. He said that by the time you all get here, you know, we're going to probably have a lot of folks sitting on 48 hours straight of work. So we'd like to get this thing turned over as soon as possible. So that was our goal. I was probably the closest person on our team. I live in northern New Mexico. So it took me about 10 hours to get up into the area. Was able to get a look at the house draw, then found out that the Remington had really blown up. When we first got the call, this was about 2,000 acres. So I was coming through Casper, made my way over to Gillette, said I'd be able to get a look at these three southern fires. And by that time, Karsten had informed Dave and myself that the folks on the ground had caught this thing. So it ended up being one of the largest fires in Wyoming history. But sounds like the folks did a really good job working through several days to get this thing caught. Left us with really not much to do but the suppression repair, which leaves us to where we are now. We're using a lot of machinery that we just got in. And I think we're gonna be sitting in some of the folks that put the line in are gonna be helping us repair the line or reclaim it. Some of the local lingo I'm hearing as I talk to folks around here, reclamation. But we're used to calling it suppression repair. We're used to calling them graders. And I guess they're called blades around here. And when we're in Texas, they're maintainers. But whatever it is, it's a heck of a piece of machinery to get the job done on what you guys did. And I commend you on the good job of getting around these things. Right now, like I said, it's just a matter of us using that machinery to try and repair the lines that were put in as close as you can back to the way they were before the fire started, before the machinery was used to make the lines. We got folks, you know, we have this fire split up into two divisions, and we got folks starting here, moving south, trying to come back around with the blades to get it repaired, and we got folks here coming down, and we're going to have some up in here coming around tomorrow, and we got another one up here coming down today. So we got four pieces of machinery in there now, and as we get more, we'll start getting it in there to get that stuff repaired. Not a lot of heat on these fires anymore. You can see this is left open here as a little chunk of uncontained fire. That was the last spot that we found some heat, but we're just keeping it open. Don't want to completely close out the fire 100% contained, but as of right now, we don't see any real chance of these things getting out of their containment lines. The big thing is just new fire starts. And so I know that there's been a lot of tone outs as we've been sitting out over there in Buffalo, and I'm sure there's been some here with new starts. So just glad the folks are around doing due diligence, and we do have some folks, you know, on hand that could potentially help if they're in the right area, but I know the folks around here aren't really counting on that, trying to do it themselves, so appreciate that. Really not a lot more to report out on the operations side. It's really looking good. But I will be around for questions if anybody has any afterwards, and I think we'll turn it over to Sophie Adams, our incident meteorologist, to give you guys a little bit of update on some weather.
Awesome. Thank you, Brandon. Yep, so my name is Sophie Adams. I'm an incident meteorologist, and we are a group of highly trained individuals specifically focused in fire weather from the National Weather Service. We are deployed with the incident management teams to help support them with the fire behavior and looking at critical thresholds that could lead to different situations where the fire could get out of control. So looking at the matrix that we brought along with us today, so this is a tool that we use to communicate with the incident management team. And you'll notice that it's color-coded with different fire weather thresholds. So these are critical thresholds that will impact the fire behavior. So for the next few days, you'll notice Saturday our winds right here are looking right about in 14 miles per hour, so that's a little bit lower than what we've identified as our critical wind thresholds. And that's generally been what we've seen the last few days, and Saturday is looking a little bit less critical for us, so we're expecting hot temperatures to continue. Tomorrow will be in the mid to upper 80s. The minimum relative humidities are going to be lower, but not near that critical threshold quite yet. But Sunday is where we're really looking at the potential for more critical fire weather conditions. So our forecast offices in Riverton, Billings, and Rapid City have issued fire weather watches for Sunday. And our high temperatures are expected to increase quite a bit as we have this high pressure system that's going to peak on Sunday and Monday. And that is also going to coincide with some increasing winds, especially towards the evening on Sunday. So that's where we're going to see those 20-foot sustained winds around 18 to 22 miles per hour around these fires. So that's going to be the real critical fire weather day for at least the next 7 days. For Monday and Tuesday, we are going to be pretty hot and dry. But then looking a little bit further into the week, you'll notice that in our 24-hour precipitation probability, we have some chance of rain potentially late Wednesday into Thursday. There is higher confidence in that than we've seen earlier in the week, so that's going to be the next chance for maybe some showers, a stray thunderstorm, and other than that, that is pretty much all I have. We'll be around after if you've got any questions for us, and thank you so much for having us in your community, and I hope you have a great day. And I'll leave it with Art Gonzalez for fire behavior.
I don't know who I'm going to turn this to after, so we'll wing it when we get there.
You can just give it back to me, Art.
Okay, we'll go with Mr. Purdy behind me. Good evening, Arthur Gonzalez, fire behavior analyst with the Southwest Incident Team 5. and it does not sound like this is working. So is that, you can hear it? Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about what I do with my position with the team. But first of all, I wanted to start with a couple of things. First, my heart goes out to you folks. You know, this we often hear about these large fires out west, and they don't hit the news unless there's fatalities or structures lost. But just understanding the impacts of losing like grass and range infrastructure in this neck of the woods, significant. This is not a normal fire, and I want to talk just a little bit about that. But my heart goes out to you folks. Just completely understand. Just driving around over this last week, looking at you know, the conditions around here. It's a lot of grass, and the grass means a lot around here, even though it's not measured in structures. Second, fantastic job to those of you, either private landowners, the you know, county fire departments, all those folks that were out here on the first 24, 36 hours. When you look at the conditions that this fire burned under, it could have been even bigger. As big as this fire was, it could have been even bigger. So great job for those folks that were able to get out and get some work done around here. Like Brandon said, it did not leave us a lot of fire activity on this specific fire here, the house draw. Some of the other fires that we have under our command here, a little more work out there, just more broken topography, a little more trees out in that neck of the woods. House draw looked fairly good when we got here. So my job usually when we show up is we look at, I kind of start to analyze why has this fire grown to be so big? Where do we think this fire is going to go into the future? And we start trying to lay that information out to build a plan. Brandon and his folks start to build a plan how they're going to get around this. Our information officers start sharing information with their partners, and then we do these public meetings to try to give folks information. So with this one specifically, just it wasn't going to move anymore. Most of that, you know, the grass had burned out. There were still some hot spots down in the drainages, mostly in cottonwood trees at that point. But for the most part, the progression had stopped. And so I want to just talk a little bit. So when I showed up, so if folks are familiar with the Achita Road out there, there's a weather station on that road there. The Achita, it's a remote automated weather station, what we call a ROS station. So when I show up, I pull all the information you know, back to 2000 to at least give me an idea of what's going on. And here's what I see. I mean, and I'll stick around after you guys tell me if it was different. And we were having a conversation here earlier, this gentleman and I. Last year, around May, June, July, that raw station showed above average precip. Good rain, right? We love to see that stuff around here. So those 3 months into July, it stood above average, dried out a little bit, and then there was another shot in October. It wasn't so much the amount of moisture that place got, it was the timing of that. So it grew a lot of grass. But then things didn't turn out to be so well over the winter. Not a lot of moisture, not a lot of snowpack in the elevation. What that typically does over the winter is that starts to smash some of the grass down, right? It's not 2 foot, 3 foot and standing. We didn't see that in this neck of the woods. And then we fast forward into the spring here and started out with great moisture again in May. But then in July, it got hot and the water turned off. So all that grass that grew last year, which was fantastic, started to dry out. And then when this system came through that started this fire, in Buffalo, the weather station there had sustained winds of 40 miles an hour. That's significant, right? We're not talking the gusty stuff. This is sustained wind. And so that's all this country needed to really see a fire of this footprint. Darn near 200,000 acres. It, by Western standards, we're seeing that a little more often. That's not significant. What was significant in this neck of the woods was how fast it got to that 176,000. Like Brandon said, these folks, within 24 hours, it was pretty much done where it was going to burn. That's the significant part, right? As fast as this thing moved, it's 41 miles as the crow flies across this thing right here. I don't care where you go in the west, that's significant. And that was driven by those high winds and just sustained grass, just good grass everywhere. It's the same condition that these fires you see, these other fires we have over here, Flat Rock, Constitution, and Remington. If you notice, their shades are all long and skinny. At the widest, house draw is 12 miles, but for the most part, it's 4 miles wide by 41 miles long. That's all the indicators of a wind-driven fire and a fine, flashy fuel. Not a lot of timber to give that any spread, lateral spread. Whichever way that wind was blowing is where that fire was going. So I think it was a lot of good firefighting to keep folks safe under those kind of conditions. As we drove down, I'm out of northern Arizona, as we were driving over, I'm looking at the news, I'm looking for information to try to give me some situational awareness, what's going on with this fire. And I'm watching these video clips, and there's ranchers out there using their blades. There's all different agencies of fire department trucks out there. There's a lot of moving pieces that first night. To see that significant fire behavior and not get anybody hurt, that in itself was significant. So that's kind of what I seen. That's what gave it the conditions to get to be this footprint. It grew a lot of energy fast. When you build a fire this big that fast, something has to change. Unfortunately, we started to lose the wind. All the work on getting blade lines around this thing started to remove the fuel. And so now where we sit today is when that grass burns, it goes fast, but it loses its heat fast. And so we've not seen any spread on this thing for the last week. Matter of fact, I watch it from Buffalo on a satellite imagery looking for heat sources, and this thing has all but disappeared off of those satellite imagery. There's just not a lot of heat out there. What we call wind test, this fire has been wind tested the last 3 days, so it's had 20-mile-an-hour winds on it, 30-mile-an-hour gusts, and it has not moved. Those heat sources that are interior, those cottonwoods, those things have started to diminish out to the point where really the issue now is kind of looking forward, trying to look at those new ignition sources. That's the potential now versus anything outside of this one right here. So with that, hopefully that gave it a little bit more information. I'll stick around. I don't want to take up too much time. We can sure talk about this. Appreciate those folks. I told them I would tell a whole different story and see if I made them start twitching, but they bared with me. So I appreciate it. Thank you, and have a good evening.
All right, thank you, Art. One of the things I learned early on with fire is when it comes to a natural disaster, these are the only ones we step in front of. Right? We don't go out to the beach and try to blow a hurricane away or tell a tornado to get, but we send human beings out to fight fires. And I think that's important to remember. Chief, would you like to make a couple comments?
Yeah. All I want to say is I'm very proud of our department, because it's not my department. It's the whole southern end of Johnson County and Powder River Fire District, and the support this community showed us during this major event is overwhelming for us. We're young, we're learning, we're growing, and we're only going to get better. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Chief. To wrap things up, I'd like to ask Dave Gesser to come up. He's the incident commander for Southwest Incident Management Team 5.
So good evening. As stated, I'm Dave Gesser, the incident commander for Southwest Team 5. We're a complex incident management team. Basically, there's about 44 incident management teams in the nation. And so when these fires broke out and I got the call, initially it was just the 3 fires in Wyoming, and then the Remington got added on to us. A lot of the information that was coming in is just they needed that support. They needed the help. The middle management side of things, because there wasn't a lot. Because we were in National PL5 when these fires broke. And by National PL5, that takes into account the activity that's going on in Oregon, Washington, Idaho, California, basically everywhere. And so a lot of teams were already out, a lot of the stuff was already out as far as personnel and everything else. And then you had Johnson County, Campbell, and all the others around having going fires. So to try to get the resources in was pretty tough. So I really commend, and you've heard it, the folks that are here, the ranchers that helped, and the departments for the job they did with this fire. You know, as we came, as stated, when we came in, this was supposed to, you know, a blowing, going fire, and then everyone caught it. And so that set us up for where we are today with all these fires. But, you know, really, you look at it, and we come in with a lot of support. Our team runs with 94 personnel on it, and a lot of specialty things in there as well, as you heard from fire behavior and weather. But we have a lot of other stuff, the logistical side of it, to be able to support the folks out on the ground. And so you had, you know, a lot of the community trying to feed and support everyone, and they were getting stretched, trying to get that food out there and the amount of firefighters that were here. And at one point, between the four fires, we had, I think, sitting about 800 personnel on these fires. And so that takes a lot to feed all those folks and get things going. And so that's, you know, was a big thing with bringing our team in, was to take over on these four fires, because all the departments and counties still have to do with their day job, right? And be able to support all of you with medical calls, car accidents, other fires. And so this gave a release to those folks. And when you're out there, if you haven't done it, and some of you probably have, but when you're out there for 36 hours straight, it's exhausting. So really commend everyone for the job they did out there. For us, you know, as you heard, it's a lot of suppression repair for us. We do have a phone line out there, and it's with our PIO shop, to really look at the landowners that are wanting to get that done. And it's been a tremendous response to that. And there's a lot of folks that want to get that done. And so I think right now we're up to about 200 private landowners that are wanting to get the lines repaired and the fences taken care of that we did during suppression repair. So I want to thank everyone. If you haven't done that and you are wanting that done, just let us know so that we can get that taken care of as we're moving through that. You know, as I mentioned, a lot of the folks that put in these lines are now coming back to help us repair all these lines that are out there. I think at last count that I saw, we had 351 miles of line out there between all four of these fires to get rehabbed. That's a lot of line. You look at it and people think, well, there's not a lot of smoke in the air. What are all you still doing here? Well, yeah, it took a day and a half to put those lines in. It's a whole lot longer to rehab those. You've got to pull the berms back in, make sure everything's good, and fixing all the fence. It's real easy to cut a fence, as you all know. But it takes a little more time with many of those. So, you know, we still have quite a few folks around. I think we're still upward of about 400 personnel between all four fires. I think, Brandon, when you were talking coming over, we got like 19 graders between these four fires now that are helping to get that rehab done. So really, I just want to thank everyone for their support. We'll be around quite a bit. We did, as mentioned, bring in a lot of folks to help with that, to talk about the recovery afterwards and what kind of support's out there for folks. But really, just thank you for all your support. And again, I just want to give a big shout out to those that helped on this fire quite a bit and the department. You know, they put in a lot of time out there, so thank you.
All right, thank you, Dave. I did want to recognize Commissioner Devontae and Senator Crago. Congratulations, Senator, on being elected. Those folks are here. And I'm going to turn over here and ask Anita about our partners. First off, Anita Bartlett with the Powder River Conservation District and Powder River Fire District. Thank you so much, Anita, for helping me out, helping the information team out to get this meeting set up. And if you could maybe talk a little bit about some of the partners we have over there and some of the information.
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay, at this first table, I've got stuff from the Powder River Conservation District. Weed and Pest could not make it tonight, but there is a meeting notice there for them. They're going to have a meeting next week to discuss annual grass and what that means after a fire. UW Extension is taking care of a lot of the hay and feed. There is a flyer for them there. Micah sends his apology. Wyoming Department of Ag also could not be here, but there's some material from them. Johnson County Emergency Management has some stuff on debris removal, and they do believe that the landfill in Buffalo will be able to take all the debris, the wire, the post, and manage that kind of thing. There's a letter to that. Commissioner Botany brought me a bunch of flyers, so if you want to volunteer or donate to the relief fund, There's a form for that, as well as a form on the foundation that was put together.
The actual fund.
The actual fund. As well, Allison McKenzie with the NRCS is here to discuss programs through NRCS. Justine with Farm Service Agency is here. She has packets for their programs. Jacob McCarthy with Wyoming State Forestry brought material on making yourself a defensible space around your house. While some of you may have had everything burnt around it, for those of us that were fortunate not to get burnt, there's some options for how to make your home defensible. And Todd Yeager with the BLM is here as well somewhere. There he is. Sorry. I think that's everyone I got a hold of in information, so we'll be over in this general area and just stop by.
All right, folks, I just wanted to, Dave mentioned the phone number. It's important to remember on suppression repair, that's voluntary, right? If one of the teams or one of your local crews put in a dozer line and you're thinking, you know what, I've wanted a road there for years, great, keep it. If you want it, repaired, you got to let us know. Right on the back, we got packets right out there where you came in, back page, phone number's right there. Give us a call. You can also, if you see a crew out there working, you can touch base with that crew and their incident action plans or IEPs. They have a little table that we put in there for them, and they can take your information out there as well. All right, so the team's around. So if you have questions about the fire, fire activity, where the fire's at, or fire suppression, the team will be up here. Post-fire, we're going to have folks along this back wall at these tables. Thanks for coming. We really, really appreciate it. Please mingle around, talk to these folks. Let's get your questions answered. And again, if you need some help, it's going to be over there.
This audio was brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your location agent and good neighbor.